2, go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of rim. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore, how hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And the servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. The word of God for God's children. Mount Pleasant, I want to talk to you today about the importance of following God's instructions. The importance of following God's instruction. You know, whenever we know there is a standard and a way, a blueprint from God, such as his word, why do we veer on our own? Why do we neglect and forsake the instructions of God to follow our own ways or even the instructions of the world? And certainly in our lesson, in our scripture today, this man Naaman now has an opportunity to be healed by the Most High God. But when he comes to, when he's told what he has to do, he has a problem with it. How many times have God told you this is what you must do, and you say, you want to question me? Why? Well, because God is God. He knows exactly what's going on and what's the optimum solution to your problem is. And when you don't follow the instruction of God, you find yourself in a spirit of despair, depression, and demise. It is important that we follow God's instruction, because we will get the very best in our counseling. We will get the very best help that we could ever get. And God's solution via his instruction are always the best solution. Are you out there today?
Amen. Amen.
Let's look at this neighbor. He was a commander of the army for the king of Aram. Now get this, was a man important to his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram The man was a valiant warrior, but he had this leprosy. He had a skin disease. Now, notice the Bible speaks to, of him as being an important man to the king of Syria, or Aram. He was highly regarded. And notice God had used him to allow Syria to conquer other nations, even portions of Israel. So he was highly regarded. And notice in that second verse, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now we see here God is positioning someone in that, in Naaman's household, to speak a word to where God can help him. Oftentimes we question when things are changing and something or someone appears on the scene. We question, what's happening here? But God has moved this little girl, albeit by being captured by Naaman's army, to his household, and she's going to drop a word about someone who speaks for God that God will use to heal Naaman's disease. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
And that's why we got to be careful turning folk away and not following or listening even to people who we don't esteem as on our level, people we think don't think highly of. I'm here to tell you, God will use who he will. I told you that before, and I'll say it again.
Amen.
And so now, he had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel this young girl, and she was serving Naaman's wife. She was her attendant. And notice, she said to Naaman's wife, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease. She's talking about Elisha. Mm-hmm. Oh, we know how God mightily used Elisha throughout the world, certainly in the Old Testament. I mean, he used Elisha. Remember, Elisha was the one who said and prayed that God would give him what? A double portion of what Elijah had.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness, it's important, Mount Pleasant, that we follow God's instructions. And now, and so notice this now, one of the servants in the house went to Naaman, and he says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And so, notice, he said, Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And so once he told the king this, the king says in that fifth verse, he says, and the king of Syria said, go to go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Notice he's taking all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is about to come on to the king of Israel. And so I want to regress a little bit. But I want you to know, even now, look at this lonely girl who's been caught. She's just a servant, but she had some information that will make all the difference in Naaman's life. She has a word from God that if Naaman would get to the prophet, if he will get to Israel and Samaria, there is some help in Samaria. Oftentimes, we got to hear what God is saying. I don't care who we are, who you are, God will use you for his glory. How y'all that?
Amen, man.
So Naaman now goes and takes with him all this stuff. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it read, when this letter comes to you, mm-hmm. note that I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease. Now, get this, when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and asked, am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Recognize that he's only picking a fight with me. Now, I want y'all to understand this, that king now King Joram, he didn't have any faith of God. He didn't even have any faith in Elijah. But what he was worried, he was thinking now, maybe this king of Syria, of Aram, king of Aram is trying to set me up to war with me. But he did say this. He recognized that he couldn't cure anybody. He recognized that he couldn't heal anybody. And I want to say to you, know your limitations. You know, I often hear people say, yeah, we saved him. No, you didn't save anybody. God saved.
Come on, man.
Don't ever say what you will do. Only say what God will do perhaps through you.
Amen.
Because the ultimate thing is God will get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. So he brings his letter, and Naaman now sets off. He goes to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel, he's a wicked king, and he recognizes he's not God, but he thinks that there's something fishy about this. But oh, look at verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn or rent his clothes, he sent a message to the king. And he asked him, why have you torn your clothes? Then he says, have him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. I want you to know that's important. Because Elijah was really letting him know. He said, let him come to me. He's telling the king, oh, if he comes to me, he'll know that there's a prophet. Well, if he knows there's a prophet, he must know that there's a God who's more than eight.
Amen.
But we got to be careful to follow God's instruction. Notice this. Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah's house. Now, Naaman was conceited too now. He thought more highly of himself than he ought to. He was indeed the general Colin Powell of that day, mighty warrior, highly regarded. Yeah. But no, yeah, he didn't go into Elijah's house. But Elijah finna check him. As Naaman comes to his house and stood at the door of the house of Elijah, he didn't go in. But notice what Elijah does to him. Then Elijah sent him a messenger. Elijah didn't go out to greet him. Don't think you so high now that I got to bow down, come out and bow down to you. You just a man. But I do have something that will benefit you. I want you to know that our God is more than eight. He can heal. He can restore. He can raise the dead. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Notice.
Amen.
Elijah sent him a messenger who said, go wash seven times in the Jordan, and your skin will be restored and you will be clean.
Mm-hmm.
He has heard the word. He's heard godly instruction. Now let's take a look and see what Naaman will do. But the 11th verse tells us what the problem is. But Naaman got angry and left.
Mm-hmm.
He got angry because he told him to go and dip or wash in the Jordan River seven times. And understand, the Jordan River is a muddy river. It's a dirty river. Naaman thought, now, why would I go and wash in that river? Notice he said, he got angry and left, and he said, I was telling myself, he would surely come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Naaman wanted to heal it, but he didn't want to go through with the instructions of God to get to him.
Amen.
And that is the situation, certainly for a lot of folks in the body of Christ. We want the healing. We want the blessing. But we do not want to follow the instructions. Ah, it's so important that we follow the instructions of God.
Yes, sir.
Dipping in the dirt of Jordan seven times? Notice what Naaman said. He said, aren't a banner and far the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could not wash them and be clean? So he turned and left in a rage. He's now abandoning the word he heard. He don't need to surround folk, yourself with folk who operate on wisdom. So his servant approached and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you, wash and be clean?" So after the servant tells Naaman to think about what you're doing or what you won't do.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have told you to do this great thing, you would have done it. But this is a small thing. All you have to do is dip into the Jordan 7 times. And I can hear Naaman and his servant having this discourse. Naaman saying, "I don't want to do it." The servant telling, "But you got to dip, Naaman. I don't want to do it. You got to go down in the water, Naaman. I don't want to do it. Oh, but we have had some instructions from the Lord, Naaman. I don't want to do it." Yet Naaman, in that 14th verse, went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. He finally relented and following God's instructions and according to the command of the man of God. But when he went down, I can imagine that 7th time and came up. Notice then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy. And he was clean. He was healed. Oh, my goodness. All you got to do is follow, my brother, the instructions of God. We mess up when we go on our own. We mess up when we got everybody else in our ear but God. We mess up when we're following game plans that has not been ordained by God. But he was healed. And then Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him and declared, "I know there is no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept the gift from your servant." Now, I want you to understand something. All of his arrogance and some of his conceit is gone now because he's bringing back him to Elisha and he introduces himself as Elisha's servant. From his servant. And we read on, if we were to go on, Elisha said, "No, I'm not accepted. As I stand, I was not accepted." And Naaman tried to urge him to accept him, but he refused. And I want you to know, when you follow God's instruction, you get the very best result. How many of you are willing to follow the instructions of God?
Listen,
when we receive, then we do. God will do what God will do. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. But I want to now show you that Naaman went on, although reluctantly, he had to be convinced. Let's look at another individual in the kingdom who did not do at all, well, maybe partially, but did not completely do what God told him to do. Let's now go to 1 Samuel 15. And let's look at this king by the name of Saul. And as we see in the very first verse, Samuel told Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people Israel." Now listen to the words of the Lord. This is what the Lord of the army said. "I witnessed that the Amalekites did to the Israelites when they opposed them along the way as they were coming out of Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and completely," note the word, "completely destroy everything they have. Do not spare them, kill men and women, infants and nursing, babies, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys." Now, I want you to understand God has given instruction to Saul the king to kill all of the Amalekites. Wipe them out totally. And one might say, "Well, isn't that harsh?" No, God is God. He can do anything he want to do. So he tells them to kill the entire Amalekite people. And now, let's drop down the 7. Then Saul struck down the Amalekite from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is next to Egypt. He captured King Agag of Amalek alive, but he completely destroyed all the rest of the people with the sword. Saul and his troops spared Agag and the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and choice animals, as well as the young rams and the best of everything else. They were not willing to destroy them destroy all the worthless and unwanted things. Now, if God tells you to completely wipe out, you got to completely wipe out. We see that he is not following the instructions of God. And as we continue to read 1 Samuel 15 and 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and has not carried out my instructions. Now Samuel became angry and cried out to the Lord all night. And I want y'all to know, when God tells us to do something in Mount Pleasant, we ought to do it the way God wants us to do it. Because as we will read on, and I want you to read all of this, we read on, Saul told Samuel, I feared man rather than God. Now, isn't that something to say? That you was afraid of the people rather than God. But he says, early in the morning, Samuel got up to confront Saul, but it was reported to Samuel, Saul went to Carmel, where he set up a monument for himself. Now, guess what? He done set up this monument. He's full of himself. Now, pride goes before fall. He's not followed the instructions of God, but oh my goodness, he's full of himself. He thinks he's done something great. No, he hasn't, because he's in a real sense, disobedient. He did not do what God told him to do. And let me drop word. When God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it completely. Not a little bit here, not a little bit there. You got to do all that he tells you to do.
Amen.
But then, he turned around and went down to Gilgal. Now, when Samuel came to him, Saul said, may the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Now, he had followed the instructions of the Lord. Notice that Samuel replied, then what is it? Is this sound of sheep, goats, and cattle I hear? Saul answered, the troops brought them from the Amalekites and spared the best sheep, goats, and cattle in order to offer a sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we destroyed. Samuel said, stop! Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, he replied. So Samuel continues, although you once considered yourself unimportant, have you not become the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel and then sent you on a mission and said, go and completely destroy the sinful Amalekites. Fight against them until you have annihilated them. So why didn't you obey the Lord? Why did you rush on the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? And then Saul says, but I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord gave me. I brought back King Agag of Amalekite, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites. The troops took sheep, goats, and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was set apart for destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Then Samuel said, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. I want somebody to know that we got to obey God. We got to follow the instruction of God. And then he says, for rebellion is like the sin of divination. He says, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. When we reject God, I want you to know when we don't do it God's way, I want somebody to know today that we should not think that God's going to bless our situation. Saul had an opportunity to do what God wanted him to do, and he failed God. Let that not be said of you and I. Let us know the importance of following God's instructions. But even so more, if you read on, you're going to find that Saul had to end up chopping up King Agag. But that's not the end of the story. Some centuries later, in the Empire of Persia, the Bible, in the book of Esther, the Bible makes mention of a wicked servant of the king by the name of Haman. Haman now was insulted by a Jew by the name of Mordecai. He got mad because the Jew did not bow down to him. And so he convinced the king to decree that all Jews would be killed. This is a result of Saul not doing what he was supposed to do. The Bible says Haman was a direct descendant of the king of the Amalekites, of Agag. I want to tell somebody that you need to do everything God tells you to do. Because if you don't follow God's instructions, there can be repercussions, not only now, but even in the future. Am I talking to somebody? Follow what God is saying. And when you follow his instructions, I'm here to tell you, you'll be able to stand and to receive and to praise and to worship and to live the life that we call abundantly. I'm here to tell you that now, because Saul did not do what he was supposed to do, he set the whole entire nation in jeopardy. But our God is more than able. Even when we're not following him, I want to drop word to somebody that he always have a remnant, a ram in the bush. Somebody want to follow God. Somebody want to do it God's way. Somebody want to honor God. Remember, he just said, and he required obedience rather than sacrifice. Anybody on this line want to honor God today?
Amen.
Yeah, we got to learn how to follow those instructions. If God tells you to jump, you got to jump. Don't ask him how high, because he'll tell you how high. If God says go, you got to move. If he says be still and see the power of the Lord. I'm telling somebody, if he says be still, stay where you are and be still in him. We got to follow the instructions of the Lord. I'm here to tell you the world is doing their own thing. Let us not be like the world. I want you to know that when you follow him, you're following yourself into eternal life with him. When you follow him, you may walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, but you ain't gonna fear no evil because he's with you. Don't go solo, go with the Lord. Follow his instructions, and he'll get you to where you need to be.
Amen.
We praise God. And I want to leave you with this mindset. Throughout the Bible, whenever folks heeded to the voice of God, whenever they followed Jesus, whenever they believed and did what they were instructed to do, God bless. We got to be obedient, y'all, and follow the instructions of God. He wants to help you. He wants to touch you. He wants to give you fresh life and fresh living. You can't get that doing your own thing. Follow his instructions, and he'll do all the rest. Somebody needs to know that the enemy is pulling on every side. But I want somebody to stay this course. You've been given instructions from God. Follow those instructions to the left. And I'm here to tell you and bear witness that you'll never be the same because of God. Oh, we give him praise and honor in this house. Mount Pleasant, I want you to continue to follow the instructions of God, and you too can experience the victorious life. If you haven't already, it's still in the car's foot. Just know that God wants you to just follow him. And in the kingdom, as I've said many times, we take on his agenda and get rid of ours. Yeah. It's all about him, never about us. To God be the glory. My brother, we need to know that we must follow God's instructions.
Mm-hmm.
I love each of you. I thank God for you. Again, I miss all of you. I'm praying that this pandemic and all of this other mess will be over soon, and we can see one another in the flesh and know that everybody is safe.
Yes.
God bless you. Let us bow our heads as we close. Father God, we thank you now. And we know that we must follow your instructions to the letter. We know that the instructions that you give us are life-saving and life-helping. And so, Father, we thank you. Lord, we need you in a mighty way.
Yes, Lord.
Now, as we come to you right now, Lord, I ask you to touch, bless, protect, and keep everybody on this call. And not only those individuals who are listening, but those who are not here. Those who are throughout the world who believe, Father God, and know. Keep them in this perilous time.
Yes.
Father, we honor you and we thank you right now. Because we know that you're God all by yourself and there is no other.
Yes.
Lord, continue to teach us to love mercy and to walk in your ways and not sin against you, Lord. That we would humble ourselves and always proclaim that Jesus is Lord and Savior and that you get all the glory.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I just thank you right now.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I ask right now, right here where we are all gathered and we are listening and hearing a word from you, that you release healing mercies and you release mercies and bless your people right now.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, teach us right now. Whatever we need, Father God, we ask you that you would give it to us right now.
Right now, Lord.
For you are our help in this present age.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
We bless your name. We love you, Lord. In
yes,
Jesus' name. We say amen.
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 God bless you.